We'll be studying today the Sugya Daf Ayin Zayin. Yesterday we covered the Sugya Ayin Vav. And there we were talking about Shechitas Kodshim, the gun of Shechted a Behema that he stole. And the Behema was Hegdesh, was Kodshim L'Mizbeach. And the question is, according to Rav Shimon, how is it that this Shechita can incur a Chiyuv Dal Vehe under the law of Tavach, when in fact Rav Shimon is of the opinion that Shechita Shein Aruya Lo Shmei Shechita, for example the case where the God of Shechted an animal and it turned out to be a Trefa, and here too in the case of Kodshim, since presumably these Kodshim were Shechted Chutzlam Koman, Chutzla Zora, how could such a Shechita engender a Chiyuv Dal Vehe? It's a Shechita Shein Aruya. And the Gemara offered basically two mahalchim. There was the mahalach of Rabbi Yochanan and that of Reish Lakish. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the case is he shechted, the Gan of shechted a tmima, but he shechted a bifnim, whether it was l'shem bailim or whether it's shalol l'shem bailim. Those are two versions in Rabbi Yochanan, and that's what we discussed yesterday. According to Reish Lakish, we're talking about a balas mum, and the behema was shechted, the stolen animal was shechted outside the azara of chutz, and the halacha is, according to Reish Lakish, that a behemas bal mum that was shechted outside the azara, if it was shechted properly, that's called a shechita haruya. And we discussed Rabbi Loza's objection to both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And according to the kasha that he asked, and the objection he raised against Reish Lakish, we have a problem, because how could this shechita of a balas mum be mater achila and qualify as a shechita ruya? After all, it's pidia that could be mater achila. We must have a pigeon, and without pigeon, there is no way that you can allow anyone to eat this basar. And therefore, since the shechita took place before the pigeon, that shechita becomes a shechita shein aruya. Since up until the moment of pidia, the basar is also b'achila, the shechita itself was not matir the achila, it's a shechita shein aruya, how could he be chayv dal vehei? And the Gemara answers that Rabbi Elazar missed a very important principle of Rabbi Shimon, which the Gemara establishes from a sugya in Bechoros, and that is that Rabbi Shimon holds kol omed lizrok kizorok dami. Now, what does that mean? Kol omed lizrok kizorok dami, and that has to do with a sugya of nosar with regard to Tumas Ochlin. Again, I'm just giving a quick overview of what we learned yesterday in terms of as it leads up to our sugiv today. You have karbonos that become posel and become osur b'achila b'anah, and that's called nosar, which means that the allotted time passed and the basar wasn't eaten. And in such a case, according to Reb Shimon Lechora, we should apply the principle of that which is osur b'achila is not makabel tumas ochlin. And despite that fact, there is no sar that is makabel tumas ochlin, according to Reb Shimon. And that's the case of what's called osar li'achar zrika. And in that case, even though it's nosar and it's osar b'anah, nevertheless, since there was a moment before Shkia Sachama when the basar was mutar b'achila, again, contingent on the fact that it would be eaten before it comes nosar, obviously, but the shechita took place early enough before Shkia Sachama such that the subsequent zrika to the shechita would be mat to the basar, and in such a case, even though the zrika hadam has not yet taken place yet, and in fact it's going to become nosar, nevertheless at the moment of the shechita we call it a shechita ruya because it's royal zrika. And this establishes the principle of Reb Shimon that kala omed lizrok kizaruk domi. Now that is going to help us for Reb Yochanan, because Reb Yochanan is talking about a case of shechita and then the dam was nishpach. And a similar principle we find for Esh Lakish, getting back to the sugya of Padiyah, in the case of a carbon of almum that was shechted, and that's called kola omed liftos kibhadui domi. And where do we see that Reb Shimon maintains this principle of omed liftos kibhadui domi? That's the sugya that we're doing today here on Ayin Zayin Omed Aleph. And we began the sugya yesterday. There's a brisa that records in the name of Reb Shimon that Parah Aduma is metame tumas ochlin, which means that if a sheretz comes in contact with the Parah Aduma, that basar of the Parah Aduma becomes tmeya, and if ochlin come in contact with that basar, those ochlin become tame. And now the big question is, Parah Aduma's asura Behanah, and Isuri Hanah, according to Reb Shimon, are not metami tumas ochlin. And the Gemara establishes here on Daf Ayin Zayin, Hoil v'hoisel shasa kosher, meaning after the shechita, there was a shasa kosher, in which it could have been mutar v'achila. And how is that so? Because it could have been subject to pediyah. And that's what you find here on Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, Omer Reish Lakish, in explaining Reb Shimon. Omer Ayur Reb Shimon, Para Niftes Al Gabi Marachta. So let's just explain a little bit, just a drop in the bucket, a tip in the tip of the iceberg of Para Aduma. The possibility of Pidyon of Para Aduma exists in a situation where after the shechita they found that there was a better para, more suitable para, and what they could do is be poed to the first para and replace it with a second para. Now of course we know very well that in Kodshim Mizbech there's no such thing as pidgin, and the answer is that Para Duma does not exactly come under the category of Kodshim Mizbeach. And this is based on a statement of Reb Shimon in Shavuos Daf Yud Aleph that Parah Aduma has the status of Kodshei Bedek HaBayis rather than Kodshei Mizbeach. So getting back to our sugya, what we have here is that at this moment, after the Shechita, there is no possibility of pidgin. And Tosus tries to explain here, why is there no possibility of pidgin? Why is this Parah Aduma Asur Banah, and there's no way of being mata that Isra Anah through Pidyon? After all, Reb Shimon holds that Parah Aduma is a Kodshim Berek HaBayis, which is subject to Bediyah. And the answer is, says Tosfos, that we're talking here in a later stage of the process of the preparation of the Parah Aduma, because even though after Shechita there was a possibility of Pidyon, that possibility of Pidyon terminates with Hizu Es Dam HaPorah. In other words, in the preparation of the Parah Aduma, after the Shechita, there is at some point a Hazah, and that Hazah closes the door on Pidyah. Now, according to Tosa Rosh and Shavuos, the Hazah that we're talking about is the Hazah Midam HaPorah Zayin Pa'omim, and that takes place subsequent to the Shechita, and that, as we said before, closes the door on Pidyah. But before the Hazah, the Basar had a Shasa Kosher, it was subject to Pidyon, which would be Mati the Basar, and therefore it is Metame Tumas Ochlin. Now, when Reish Lakish here on Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, is quoted as saying that according to Reb Shimon, Para Niftes. So what we're talking about, according to Sugya at the end of Menachos, is mitzvah liftosa. When is it a mitzvah liftosa? In which case the basar, the Parah Aduma, goes lechulin, and it's not even also the Rabbanon. That's a case where they find a superior para to take the place of this para. Interesting, on the side, there's a tshuva in Chacham Tzvi regarding switching a mitzvah for a better mitzvah, and he says that if a person is about or even has begun fulfilling a mitzvah in a way that's not min ha-muvchar, and now he has the opportunity to fulfill that mitzvah in a way that's min ha-muvchar. For example, he had on Hanukkah neros of shava, and he already put them into the lamp, but now, as he's doing so, somebody brings him shemen zayis. Says the Chacham Tzvi, what he should do is leave the neros shava, the wax candles, and he should be madlik with shemen zayis, because that's mitzvah min ha-muvchar. In any event, here, as we said, if he finds a better para, he could be poed to this para and replace it with a better para. Now, the para rishona, the original para, is al gabi marachta. In other words, it's already been shechted according to the halachic requirements of shechita, and that shechita used to take place outside the Beis HaMikdash, on what's called a maracha shel etzim, and any other karbon other than paraduma would not lend itself to p'diyef to shechita, and the reason for that is because of a din called hamad of aracha. But in the case of paraduma, Reb Shimon is of the opinion that the kedusha of paraduma is that of berek habayis, not kachim mizbeach, and therefore in kachim berek habayis there's no din of hamad of aracha, and it's possible to be poded even after the shechita. The Gemara in Shavuos goes into, on Daf Yud Aleph Beis, a discussion about the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Shimon. They hold that the para after shechita has a din of maracha; it doesn't lend itself to pedia at all. But here in our sugya, we're learning the shita of Rabbi Shimon, according to which there is pedia after shechita in para aduma. The Gemara says that Alma, we see that according to Reb Shimon, Kala Omed Liftos Kipadui Dami. In other words, the fact that the Paraduma is Makabal Tuma, it's Nitmeis as Tumas Oakland, even though it's also by none until Padilla, is because Omed Liftos Kipadui Dami. Now at this point, the Gemara goes back to the two Terutzim, that of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, and the Gemara questions, why is it that in the case of Kodshim that was stolen from Beis Bailim and then shechted, why is that shechita not considered a shechita shena ruya? Why is it considered a shechita ruya in the positive sense? Rabbi Yochanan's answer was that we're talking about a kodshim tmimim, and they were shechted in the Azor Kedin. Either that after shechita there was nishpach adam, the shechita was shalol l'shem bailim, but the shechita was kedasu kedin, and therefore it's a shechita ruya and engenders a chiv dal vehei. Reish Lakish's answer was, as we mentioned earlier, is we're talking about a korban balmum that was shechted outside the Azorah. Now the Gemara wants to know, why did each man the Omar fail or object to offering the answer of the other man the Omar? Bishleim, I can understand very well, Rabbi Yochanan Lomar Reish Lakish, and why is that the Kaboy Lu'ukmi Mas Nisin Afilu B'tmimim? The simple pshat in our Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that through the Shechita, the Ganav is Chayv Talvei, is talking about a Korban Tamim. I mean, why should we have an ukimta here that we're talking about Balmum? There's no hint or allusion in the Mishnah that we're talking about a Balmum. Again, we're not saying, as Rashi points out here, that Rabbi Yochanan denies that in the case of a Balmum, the Shechita would be a good Shechita. In other words, to the same extent that Rabbi Yochanan embraces the Shechita called Omeid But that's not the pshat in our Mishnah, because the Mishnah doesn't mention a word about Baal Mum. But El Reish Lakish, my taima lo omek Rabbi Yochanan, what inhibits Reish Lakish from presenting the Mishnah as referring to someone who steals karbanos tbimim and shechted them bifnim? Amalacha, Reish Lakish says, I cannot possibly accept that interpretation of our Mishnah, that we're talking about shochet tmimim bifnim, because when we read the parsha of Dalet Vehe in Shmos Chaf Aleph, we see utvacha macharo, that tvicha machira brought, are presented by the Torah in one breath, and the principle therefore is called hecha de isa ise b'machira ise b'tvicha. What you need is, in order to be chayv dal vehe for tvicha, the possibility of machira. Meaning, there are two options here, and they're haba atalia. Unless they both exist simultaneously, the ganav could be chayv dal vehe for either tvicha or machira, then they don't exist at all. For chal hecha de lesa machira, in a situation, a scenario which there's no possibility of machira, lesa be tvicha, there's no chiyuv of dalet vehe on the tvicha. That's the nature of the equation here in the pasuk, utvacha macharo, between tvicha and machira. And at this point, I wanted to call to your attention a kasha, the Rishonim, Tosus, the Rashba, and others. They ask back on Daf Ayin, in the case where he stole and sold on Shabbos, he's chayav, even though there would be no possibility of being tovech on Shabbos, because that would be a shechita sheina ruya because of Shabbos, Mais HaShabbos, and we discussed it at great length. Is the question is, how could he be chayav for mechira on Shabbos, since he couldn't at that moment shech the animal and be mechayav and be mischayav for dalet vehei b'toras tvicha? That seems to be a blatant stira to Reish Lakish. So the Rishonim answered, no. Really, there is yeshno b'shchita b'tvicha in this case. And Haraya had this exact case taken place on Chol. He be chayav dalvei for tvicha. The fact that on Shabbos he's not chayav dalvei, that's not called lesa b'tvicha. Lesa b'tficha means that in Kodshim there's no possibility of engendering a chiyuv of tficha. Sorry, I stand corrected. What I meant to say is that in Kodshim there's no possibility of mechira. Again, not because of some overlap or confrontation with Shabbos or some sort of external fact, but simply there's no mechira in Kodshim. And that's why lesa b'tvicha, that's why Reish Lakish says that it's impossible to interpret our Mishnah as referring to a tamim, as Rabbi Yochanan would have it, because if it's a tamim, then since it's lesa b'machira, it's lesa b'tvicha. V'ani kodshim, Reish Lakish spells it out for us, ho'il d'chimaz bin kodshim lo'havi machira lesnu b'tvicha. To the same extent that Kodshim are excluded from Mechira, so too they're excluded from Tvicha as far as Dalet Vehe. Now, what it means when we say that Kodshim are excluded from Mechira, what probably we mean here is the Sugya Liel that we spoke about, Meikara Torah de Ruvain Vahash de Torah de Ruvain. Now, Reish Lakish made a statement way back when on Daf Samach Chesamid Aleph that there's a Chiyuv Dalet Vehe even before Yeish Bailim. Again, if it was after Yeish Bailim, then Reish Lakish holds Yeish Kona Bechdi Kona, and therefore he could not be possibly Chayiv for Tvicha Mechiri. He's shechting his own animal. So we're talking before Yeish. And the Gemara there explains that even though it's before Yeush, and therefore there's no possibility of a Mechira being a valid Mechira, nevertheless, the Ganav is Chayv Dalvei for Mechira, and that's called Lefisha Nishtaresh Bechet, which means he's sort of like extending his original Gneva by trying to sell the animal, even though the Halacha doesn't recognize the validity of that sale. Now here in the case of Kodshim, what we're saying is l'chora that there's no validity to the sale. You cannot sell Kodshim, and we'll have to see why. But be that as it may, there's a Maisa Mechira, no less than a Maisa Mechira before Yeush. And therefore the Ganav should be chayv because of this principle of Nishtarish Bechet. And Rabbi Chanan, in his Kovetz Yurim, is bothered by this. And he writes that Rak b'yofet sheikuv ha-mechira machmas ha-gneva. He says, when do we say that the mechira is nishtarish b'chet, even though it's not a valid mechira, i.e. before Yeush? That's only because any sort of ikuv in this mechira is a result of the gneva. And that means that the nignav refuses, so to speak, to be misyayish. And therefore, he's chayv on any mechira because of nishtarish b'chet. But in our situation, even if there was no ikuv machmas ha-gneva, even though it wasn't the gneva that's preventing it, here it's the shem kodshim that's preventing the mechira from being valid. In that case, since the reason you cannot sell kodshim is because it's kodshim, and that would apply even if he hadn't stolen the animal, then he's part of the mechira. That's a hafka of the mechira in Ganson. There is no mechira. That's halach in kodshim, that kodshim is mufka from mechira. And there would be no dalet vehei in the case of kodshim. And that's what the Gemara says in the name of Reish Lakish, Hoel v'chi mizvan kodshim, lo avi mechir is lesnu b'tficha. And again, it's not similar to the case where the chalos mechira is undermined by the fact that there was no yeush. That's nishtarish b'chet that's built into the gnev itself. The gnev itself prevents the yeush from taking place, from being chal. Now, if we take a look at Rashi here, Divar Maschil Lo Avi Mechira, it's about, let's say, six lines down from the top here on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, the Ein Kodshim Tmimim Yotzim Lechulin. Hilkoch Bale Bebale Mumin Askina De Isnu B'Travayu. Now, Rashi's telling us why Reish Lakish insists that there's no such thing as a Mechira in Kodshim, and that's going to lead him to the conclusion that therefore there's no chiyuv tvicha. How is it so that there's no mechira in kodshim? Rashi says because yotzim einam yotzim lechulin. It's not quite clear why or how that line of Rashi, that logic of einam yotzim lechulin, explains or justifies that the mechira is not valid. As l'chora, the mechira could be chal even if the korban is not yotzei l'chulin, and it remains kodshim. And let the lokeach, you know, be makriv it as a korban. But more likely, the source for this gemara of Reish Lakish is in Psachim Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis, and there the gemara says Amocher Oloso Shlomov Lo Asa Klum. And by the way, that applies even in Kodshim Shechayv Lachir Yuson, according to Reb Shimon. In other words, once an animal is designated for Kedushas Mizbeach, the Bailim don't have a full-fledged ownership on them. Again, the ownership on the animal is more for the sake of Kapara, but to say that they can transfer ownership on Kodshim, that the Gemara establishes is impossible to transfer ownership. It's a non-transferable item called Kodshim. Now, coming back to Reish Lakish, why does Reish Lakish gain, or what does he gain from interpreting our Mishnah in a case of a Balmum? There's a Chalos Mechira. You can sell a Korban Balmum. Again, the Korban Balmum is no longer Kodshim Haru'im L'Mizbeach, and therefore that whole barrier preventing Mechira because it's Roy L'Mizbeach is completely irrelevant, it's completely removed in the case of a carbon that's a Balmum. So since you could sell a carbon Balmum in Gvichayev Talavei, therefore you could be Chayev on the Tvicha. According to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't recognize this hekesh between tficha and mechira, and you can be chayiv on the tficha even in a situation where you couldn't be chayiv on the mechira. And therefore, even though we're talking about shochet karban tamim bifnim, nevertheless, you're chayiv dalvehe for that tficha. The azdu l'tamayhu, and in fact, this is an old machlokas, the itmar. We're talking about a case of a ganov. Hamocher, he sold a behavior that was trefa. It's a divrei Reish Lakish. According to Reish Lakish, who says you potter on tficha, let's say of a trefa because of shchita shena ruya, is the divrei Reb Shimon, is Reb Yochanan Omar Chayav Reish Lakish of a potter. In the case of Mechira, Reb Yochanan is going to say, okay, the tficha is a problem. But nevertheless, and again, we're going to have to work out that problem, but nevertheless, Mechira is still a valid Mechira as far as generating a Chiv Dal Vehe. Reish Lakish says that according to Reb Shimon, you'd be potter for the Mechira. Reb Yochanan Amar Chayov, you're Chayov for this Mechira, Dal Vehe Afal Gav, Delesa Bitvicha. Even though Reb Shimon would certainly maintain that you're not Chayov for Tvicha, and the reason for that is because we're talking about a treifa, and the shechita of a treifa is not ru'uya, it doesn't matter the basar. But comes along Reish Lakish, and he says, "Pata, why? Keva de lesa b'tficha, lesa b'machir." We have that tlut, that interdependence through this hekesh of tvicha and mechira. Here, in the case of a treifa, Reb Shimon holds there's no shechita, there's no tvicha that could generate dalvei, therefore, ipso facto, there's no mechira. Oh. Again, this is all according to Reb Shimon, who holds that you need shechita haru'uya in order to be chayv dalvei. And here in the case of Trefa, you don't have that, and therefore there's no Tficha and there's no Mechira, according to Reish Lakish. Eisvei, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, how are you, Reish Lakish, going to interpret a Braisa? The Braisa says, Ganav Kilayim, if you have a breeding of two species, in this case, a Keves and a Tayish, meaning a young sheep with a young goat, Utvacha, and then you shechted this animal. Or another example is treifa. You have a stolen treifa, umachara. Now, notice, please, this is what we have to emphasize, that with regard to kilayim, the Braisa talks about tvicha. With regard to treifa, the Braisa shifts and discusses and addresses mechira. But be that as it may, in both the case of kilayim l'tvicha and treifa l'mechira, and Rabbi Yochanan assumes my love, Rabbi Shimoni. Why does the initial knee-jerk response here identify this Braisa, the authorship Braisa, to Rabbi Shimon? And the answer is because in the case of a trefa, notice that this Braisa mentions mechira for dalet vehe, but not tvicha. Why did the Braisa drop the ball on tvicha? And the answer is because since the animal is a trefa, Reb Shimon holds that it's a shechita shena ruya, and that's why the Braisa dropped, in the case of trefa, dropped tvicha alma. But nevertheless, the Braisa establishes that if you sell this stolen trefa, you're chayav dal vehei. Alma, we see the afal gav de lesa b'tvicha, even though it would be impossible to generate a chiyuv dal vehei for tvicha because it's a trefa, isa b'mechira. And again, when we say that there's no possibility of tvicha, it's not like the case of Gonav and Shabbos and all that stuff, where the Zaitiga Shabbos makes it in. Here, we're talking about a tray for the animal itself is mufka from Shkita. How then can you be chayav for mechira in this price? And the answer is that apparently Reb Shimon never accepted Reish Lakish's hekesh. Amalei's Reish Lakish responds to Rabbi Yochanan in self-defense, and he says, "Lo, this price is not authored by Rabbi Shimon, but rather Rabbanon." And the Rabbanon hold in the case of Trefi Yechayev on Tvichan, therefore Yechayev on the Mechir as well. According to Rav Shimon Ein Chinami, since you potter tefichi be potter mechira, the Gemara asks, I don't understand. E Rabbanon, if the authorship of this price is attributed to Rabbanon, who hold that you don't need a shechita ruya to be chayved al vehei, is trefa b'mechira isa b'zvicha lesa? Why does the Braisa limit its discussion in the case of a treif to mechira? Why not extend it to tvicha as well? Because even though the tvicha is eneruya, but the Chacham are not impressed by that. That's Reb Shimon's unique shita. And the Gemara answers, Velamai, Kirebi Shimon. So what are you telling me now? That because, and you know, by virtue of the fact that the Braisa omitted tvicha in the case of a treifa, you derive the conclusion that the authorship of the spices is Reb Shimon? I have a question for you. Because God of Kelayim Utvacha, there's no mention of Mechira. Now, clearly, in the case of Kelayim, there ain't no difference between Tficha and Mechira. Kelayim but Tficha is a Mechira less. So, certainly, the Ganav would be Chayav in the case of Kelayim for both equally, for Dalvei equally, for both Tficha and Mechira. And yet, the Braisa, with regard to Kelayim, mentions Tficha exclusively, doesn't mention a word about Mechira. Ella, you're going to have to tell me, you have no choice, Tana Tficha V'adin L'Mechira. That even though the Braisa mentions Tficha explicitly, the same did applies to Mechira. Is therefore Eimel Rabbanan Nami, when we get to the Sefer of the Treifa case, Tana Mechira V'adin L'Tficha, because according to Rabbanan, again, you don't require Shechita Ru'uya, and therefore the Shechita of a Treifa would generate a Chiyuv Dalvei. Rabbi Yochanan is not happy with this at all. He still thinks he has a very strong argument from this price against Reish Lakish. Amar Lecha, Hai Mai. What are you talking about? You're focused, you're hung up, so to speak, on the fact that in Kalayim the price mentions Tzvicha without Mechira. Wait a minute. E Amit Brishlim Reb Shimoni, if you're going to tell me the authorship of this price is that of Reb Shimon, then I think the price of can be justified. You can find an integral, the integrity of this price that can be maintained. Why? I did the Tana Trefa Bechada, since the Bryce understands very well that in the case of Trefa, you could only discuss one possibility of engendering a chiyuv Dalet Vehei, and that is through Mechira. And in contrast, the Braisa wants to tell you that in the case of Kalayim, you can engender a Chiyuv Dalvei through Tvicha. Again, in the case of Trefa, as opposed to Kalayim, the only Dalvei that we can talk about, according to Reb Shimon at least, is for Mechira. In Kalayim, the Braisa is going to focus on, spell out Shechita, Zvicha, because it's a contrast to the case of Trefa. But it doesn't mean that in Kelayim you wouldn't be chayv for Mechir as well. Is Tana Kelayim Bechada? Therefore, in order to maintain the symmetry here and the exact sort of reverse, it's like, you know, when the eye sees something, everything is reversed. In other words, in the case of Kelayim, the Braisa emphasizes Tficha, because there's no possibility of Dalvei and Tficha in Trefa. In the case of Trefa, mentions Mechira. So that maintains the integrity of the Braisa. Everything is justified. Ela'i Amit Rabbanan, but according to you, Reish Lakish, that you want to assume that the author of this Braisa is Rabbanan, then I have a real kasha. The Braisa should have been formulated in a totally different way. Nar Vinu, Vinis Ninu, the Braisa should have integrated both Tvicha and Mechira, and should have said the following. Gunav Kelayim Utrefa, whether he stole Kelayim, that mixture that we spoke about before of a kevis with a tayish, Tvachan Umachara, or Trefa, because again we're going according to Rabbanon, is Tvachan Umachara, Misham Teshlumi Arbav Chamish, that would have been the logical way in which the Braisa would have conveyed its message, that both in cases of Kelayim and Trefa, and both in Tvicha and Mechira, you get you incur a chiyuv dalvei, and the Gemara says kasha. The price is really not solid in his formulation, according to Reish Lakish. Now the Gemara goes back to the case of Gonav Kilayim Utvacha Mishalim Tashlume Arba V'chamish. The Gemara is not happy about that. Kilayim. Wait a minute. Seksiv. The parsha of Dalet Vehei. Se, meaning a pure pedigree se. Seksiv. The pasuk in Dalet Vehei says Ki ignov ish shor o se utvacho o mecharo. So it's shor o se. V'yomar Rava. Rava says, based on another pasuk, this is in Devarim Perek Yudalet, in the parsha of V'zos habeima shor tochelu of kashrus shor se kvasim v'se izim. So notice that the Torah speaks about two types of se, a se kvasim and a se izim. And l'chora, the Torah could have said se kvasim v'izim. There's an extra superfluous word se, because the Torah repeated itself unnecessarily with the word seh, and that's going to give us a drasha to split between seh ksavim and seh izim, and it's going to tell us that behemes kelayim, which means an animal that was born of a mixture of breeding between a keves and an eiz, right, a sheep and a goat, is ena nikreis seh. That's not called a seh. In other words, we need, in order to generate a seh, that both the father and the mother of this seh are both equal. They're both seim. But here, this seh was produced by a mixture of a keves and an aaz, and it's not included, therefore, in this parasha. The principle here that Rav establishes, deriving from this pasuk in Dvarim Yudalet, is that behemes kelayim shenolda mikeves v'eiz ein nikrei seh. V'zeh binyan av l'chol makom shenemar seh eino el lahotzi es hakelayim. So Rav extrapolates from this parsha of kashrus that a kelayim animal is not called a seh if it comes from a mixture with an eiz. And that's a binyan av. Presumably what Rav is telling us, therefore, is that when the Torah says in the parasha of Tvicha Mechira Seh, it means that he's going to only be chayv from a pure pedigree Seh, whose both parents come from the same min of kvasim, but not a mixture of a keves and an eiz, which is kelayim. And therefore, when we go back to our parsha of our brice of kelayim that says that a ganav incurs dalet vehei for shechting a stolen kelayim animal, which, as we said before, was a mixture of a keves and a tayish, how could he be chayev in the light of Rava, who has a binyan av that seh excludes kelayim? And the Gemara answers, shani hocha. In the case of Tvicha Mechira, we have a special ribui, the Omar Kra Shar Ose. And the extra word O is coming, Lerabos Es Hakelayim. Again, it's not 100% clear when the word O is a ribui, when is it a mute. But at this point, the Gemara presents the thesis that the O is a ribui. Now again, why this word O exactly is an extra word? I mean, l'chora shar oseh. I mean, you don't have to rack your brains to remember the whole long sugi that we learned. I think it was on Samach Zion about the fact that the Torah bichlal could have left out shar and seh, because it already says shar and seh in that same pasuk. The repetition of shar and seh was coming to tell us that you're only chayev for these two animals. In other words, dalet vehei v'ganav is only in these cases of a shor and a seh. So it's very strange, and that's what I think the Pnei Yeshua is asking over here. Why does Gemara assume here that the word O is superfluous? And that seems to be indicated here by Rashi as well. Dima maschil O. Let's just read the Rashi inside for a second. Oh, Rashi says, Shor Oseh. And he refers to the Gemara back at Daf Samach Zion, that Shor the Sefer, Veseh the Reisha Miyutar. Yeah, but that's only miyutar in the havmin. The maskona says the prayer, should we need shor instead of repetition thereof to exclude other animals? And therefore, the word o l'chor is justified. We need both se and shor, and therefore l'chor we need the o as well, because otherwise you would say that you need, you're only chayiv if you take both, you steal both a shor and a se. But be that as it may, again, those are outstanding questions here. The Pnei Yeshua, the O at this point to the Gemara is an extra word. So the Gemara asks, V'chol O l'rabosu. I'm going to prove to you from a brisa that the word O, on the contrary, is a mute, not a ribui. For Tanya, we learned in a brisa, based on a pasuk in Vayikrach of Beis, it says there, Shor o keves o eis is yeirotze lekarbon ishel Hashem. And we're talking about the word o here, which actually repeats itself twice, and the drashi and the brisa is Shor o kesev prat lekalayim, that an animal of kalayim is posel lekarbon. And then it says, O, A's, an extra word, O, a second O that's extra, prat l'nidme. Nidme is an animal that doesn't look similar, it doesn't resemble neither its father nor its mother. For example, the case of Nolda me'ayil v'rochel kedarka, but to our surprise, the fetus when born, the born animal, the newborn baby born animal, looks like an A's. It doesn't look like an Ayel and a Rachel. So Ayel and Rachel belong to the same family, yet they produce something that belongs to a whole different species, at least in its outer appearance, it looks like an A's. And in such a case, it's possible a carbon. But in any event, you see clearly that the word O is a mute. How then can you use O as a ribui to tell you that even Kelayim is subject to Tvicha Mechir and Dalet Vehei? Now, Rashi points out, you'll see this Dibra Maskel Nignava, Dibra Maskel Gneva, just 1 minute, it's premature to read that. Rashi, Omar Rava says, Hachamin Yonah Dekra, the Hachamin Yonah Dekra. In every pasuk with the word O, we have to look in context and see whether O is a ribui or O is a mute. Hacha, gabi gneva, we have a logical reason to assume that the O is a ribui, and why is that? Dichsiv, it says in the pasuk, shor o senos, we're talking about two animals from two totally different species, a shor and a seh. They cannot mix breed, cross breed. You take these two minim, an ox and a sheep, and there's no way you could breed them together. And here's where I wanted to point out to Rashi, Gabi Gneva, he says, De'ilo havik siv o l'rabos, lo mishtama kalayim minei, shari ein misabrim ze mize. Meaning, I don't need O as a mute here to exclude kelayim, because there is no physical biological possibility of kelayim between a shor and a seh. Shor belongs to what we call behema, and in fact a behema gasa, and with regard to behema gasa, it's a whole different process of ibur, it's a 9-month process. With regard to a seh, that's already a behema daka, which has a different kind of ibur of 5 months. There's no possibility of crossbreeding them. So to say that the O here is coming to be Mimayit Kelayim in a case where there's no Metzius of Kelayim, that doesn't make any sense. And therefore, by process of elimination, the O is a Ribui. And that means O L'Rabos Kelayim. In other words, if you could have a Seh with a Kelayim with another animal, or a Shars with a Kelayim of another animal, again, it would have to be two Behemoths Gassos and two Behemoths Dakos. Oh, but Gabi Kodshim Dechsiv Kesev Ve'ez, then there's a possibility of crossbreeding. Shatiyach Lohotzi Kilayim Ibeneim. Therefore, had it not been that the Torah added the word O, I would assume that even a Behemas Kilayim, that is a product of a mixture between a keves and an aze would be ksheira l'karbon, and therefore I must assume that the word o is lemaitu. It's not a ribui, but it's a miut. Again, the logic is because here, if not for the word o, I would have assumed that in the case of kodshim, there is a possibility of bringing a carbon that's kilayim, and that's where the o is coming, lemait kilayim. And here we'll take a look on ayin ches amid aleph. The Gemara asks, wait a minute, vaha gabi kodshim nami. In that very same pasuk in Dvarim Yudalit in kodshim, it says nemar. Sorry, correct myself, not Dvarim, but rather by Yikra Chavdeis, in the parasha of Sharo Keves O'ez, Yeratza Karbono L'Yishel Hashem of Karbonos, Ve'holagabi Kodshim, Nami Nemar Shar O Kesev. Right, if we are careful about reading the pasuk, there was a double O over there. You know, we spoke about Keves, Kesev O'ez, but what about Shar O Kesev? Those are two different medium that cannot be crossbred. As we said before, one is a Behema Gasa, one is a Behema Daka. One has a 9-month pregnancy, the other is a 5. She'einati yoch lotzia, lotzi kilayim mivineyim. There's no crossbreeding. V'narbe. And therefore, by power, or by right of your, of the logic that you've presented, we should have a ribuy of kilayim here in this case. Because, again, if there's no metzias of kilayim, it can't be a miut, it's got to be a ribuy. And the answer is, the Gemara says, Mita Seifa Lamait, Reisha Nami Lamait. That for some reason, we're going to take the O in the Seifa, this pasuk of Kesev O A's, we're going to use that for a mute. We use that for a mute because logically we would have thought, well, let's crossbreed them and use them for a carbon. So the pasuk, therefore, by process of elimination, must be coming as a mute. And therefore, Reisha Nami, the O of the Reisha of Shar O Kesev, even though logically we would have said it is a ribuy, we're going to have to assume it's also a mute. So when it says Adarabba, this is a kind of Maichazis, you know, you don't know which way to go. Me the Reisha Larabos, Seifa Nami Larabos, why don't you go the opposite way? Take the first O of Shar O Kesev, which you said logically, or says Seifa Nami Larabos, the O in the case of the Seifa of Kesev O'ez, that also should be used as a ribui. So you want to create a symmetry here in the both O's, but which direction you're going in, which pulls which. Hi, my, the Gemara says, no, that's not a kash at all. E amit bishlei lemait. If we're telling you that the O is coming to exclude kalayim, who de itzrich tre mi uti? Now I can justify two O's. Why? Because if you remember before, we had two different exclusions in the parasha of Karbonos. One is kilayim, and the other was that nidme case. And that's what the Gemara spells out here. The afal gav de imayit kilayim. Even though you had one miut for kilayim, itzrich lemute nidme. I still need an extra ribui for a nidme, because in the case of a nidme, it was, in fact, a mixture of the same species, so there's no kilayim, correct? Because what we mixed was, in that case, a rochel and an ayil, which is not a mixture at all, and it produced something that had the appearance of an ace. And that requires a special mute to invalidate it for carbonus, even though it is a pedigree, but it doesn't look like a pedigree. Ele'i amit l'rabos, but if you're going to take it the other way around, that the O's, each one, is coming for a ribui, trei ribui lomo, is hashta kilayim irbe le'i rabi le'i, is nidme miboy. Once you have a ribui for kilayim, how much more so, if kilayim is koshlim izbeach, then certainly nidme is koshlim izbeach, because again, nidme has one up and on kilayim, because it's not a mixture of mixed breed, it's actually a pedigree. Just that it looks a little bit like a mixture, but it's not a real mixture. So if kilayim, which is a real bona fide mixture, is included, qualifies for the mizbeach, then certainly nidbe would qualify. So why do I need two ribuyim? meaning Nidme is only a Tarovas Tzura, it has a different Tzura. But as far as the goof and the min is concerned, it's one min, whereas Kelayim is two different minim. So Kelayim is much more chamur than Nidme. The only problem I have with this sugya is that the Gemara is implying it could have been one O, and we would use the O for Kelayim and Kolshke Nidme. Maybe if we only had one O, we would only be Marba Nidme. We need another O to be Marba the bigger Chiddush of Kelayim. That I don't understand. How does Gemara calculate this? And you're going to have to somehow answer B'dochak. I don't know how to work this math out, that you don't need a ribui for Nidme. Now, it's Nidme logically, since it's not a Tarovas Min, is Kashal Mizbeach. Once you have the psul of Kelayim, then you could add, if you have an extra additional miut, then you exclude Nidme. But if you're talking about the ribui part, and the logic of including certain animals in Kashrus and Mizbeah for Karbon, then there's no reason why I would ostensibly need a ribui for Nidme. I have an intuitive logic to say that Nidme is Kashrus and Mizbeah. It's only after you've excluded Kelayim, that's when you have a Havamina to, that's when you have an extra Josh, and we're going to use it to exclude Nidme. Now, there's a Tosis Divya Maskel Hashta here. And he writes, V'im tomar below kal v'chomet de kalayim ikul mifrach matzorch l'rabos. In other words, Tosus wants to even drop this kal v'chomer, and the Gemara could have proven that if we don't have a miut for Nidme, why should we think it's possible? And I think Tosus here is utilizing the logic that we tried to present before. In any event, just to finish up the sugya for today, the Gemara says, "Ela hadi amar Rava zebana av kol makom shenemar se eno ela hotzias hakelayim." So now that you've convinced me that the O in the parasha of Ganav of Dalet Vehe is a ribui, and it's coming to include even kelayim, so if the animal was kelayim and it was shechted or sold by the Ganav Yischai of Dalet Vehe, fine. So what do we do with the statement of Rava that gave us all the conclusions up front of Zeh Binyanav, that whenever it says said in the Torah, it's coming to exclude Kelayim, L'may Hilchasa. I mean, it's an empty set. Because Ila Kodshim is Behed Yekesiv Bey Shar Okesev Prat L'Kelayim. If you're coming to tell me that the paradigmic set is to exclusion of Kelayim, you can't tell me that it's talking about a Kudshim, because in Kudshim we have the mute of Kelayim L'Mizbeach based on the O, which is a mute. And that was the whole discussion that we had before, that it doesn't make sense there are two O's as Ribuyim, because we don't need two Ribuyim, and therefore willy-nilly the two O's are coming as Miutim, and they're coming to exclude Kelayim and Nidme. So I don't need Rava's Binyan Av here to exclude a Kelayim situation from the Parsha of Karbonos, V'i L'Maiser. And now the Gemara is going to go into a discussion about what's called Maiser Behema. And the question is, if you have a Behemoth Kelayim, is it Chayiv in Maiser? Is it included in the Sphira of Maiser Behema for 10 animals? And that Bli Neder we'll talk about tomorrow.